Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
First, I need to apologize for not showing up on Saturday. It was very naughty of me, not just not to show up, but not to let anybody know. And I'm sorry about that. It just wiped me out, actually. I thought I was fine and woke up Saturday morning and realized I couldn't go anywhere. And I'm still dealing with it a bit, but it's not so bad anymore. Mm-mm. It's less heavy anymore in San Jose, so I think we're all doing better. But it's been a trial and tribulation, and I think a lot of people stayed home because they couldn't breathe anymore. So I spent some time with this chapter. It's the one that I think is the most bewildering in a way. I had to write it out in my own handwriting because the way it's written here, the explanation of form and emptiness is in a different language. I mean, it's the Japanese for one thing, and it's also his way of explaining it, which is different from the way that I know how to say it. He starts out saying that someone asked him to define a soul. What is the soul? He says this is a great and timeless question. Everyone is concerned with it. It's a question of body and mind and the union between body and mind. He said, but body and mind are not two. Master Dogen, speaking about the body-mind union, said, Shinjin Ichi Nyo. Shinjin means body-mind, and Ichi Nyo means one, the same. And it's hard to think now why Descartes thought they were different. It feels so natural to think of them as one thing. The body and the mind is just one unit. But Descartes took it all apart and analyzed it like it was two things. And it was wonderful to meet Buddhism and hear it said like this. Oh, yeah, that's how it feels. It feels like one thing. He talks about Ikkyu. Ikkyu was a very naughty boy. He was a monk and a very wise guy, really, except that he hung out with the prostitutes and drank a lot. So instead of staying in the monastery like a good boy, he was out. It's not clear exactly what he was doing, why he was doing what he was doing, but there's a wonderful book that he wrote with his poems in it and his insights, and it's quite refreshing, actually. So Ikkyu's brother dropped and broke, this is a very famous story, dropped and broke a very precious gift from the emperor, a tea bowl. And the tea bowl itself is very precious, and the emperor's was the worst thing. And the boy cried and cried, and Ikkyu instead took it to the master. And he asked the master, he said, Master, do people born in this world die or do they not? And the master said, absolutely, of course they die. Everything dies. Even Buddha died. I understand, said Ikkyu, but what about other beings, rocks and other objects? Must they too die? Oh, yes, of course, said the master. Everything has a form, must cease, and when the moment comes. I see, said Ikkyu. So since everything must come to an end, we must not cry or regret something that no longer exists or be angry with fate? Oh, quite right, said the master. Absolutely not. And Ikkyu then pulled the pieces of the bowl out of his sleeve and presented them to his master. And his master stood there dumbstruck. Oh, what did I say? What did I say? But there's a Zen saying that anything that you see is already broken. So don't worry about it. So, some people live their lives that way, expecting the worst. So, if then something good comes along, it's just extra. It's kind of a backward way, I would say, but it's a choice. So, here he goes into this difference between ku and mu. And ku is, he says they're different. So this is the part where it's ze ko ku shu, mu shiki mu ju so gyo shiki mu gen ni bi zet shin i mu shiki sho ko mi so ku ho. So ku means existence without noumenon. It's a form, it's beyond form, it's absolute existence. So it's what we call emptiness, which he's trying to avoid that by calling it this way. And mu, on the other hand, is the opposite. It is existence. It's the opposite of existence, which is non-existence, or the extinction of existence. Mu shiki means no form. No form, no feeling, no perception, no all of the five skandhas that we just chanted, form, feeling, perception, impulses, and consciousness. Everything that makes up the human body, everything that makes up us is non-existent in the sense of this as the opposite of ku. So I should read off of here because I'm getting confused. Mu shiki means no form, no five skandhas. Shiki is existence, and they all dissolve in ku. They all dissolve in the absolute. So he's saying that nothing stays this, no form stays the same, and no form lasts, but every form goes, what Emily Dickinson said, goes back. So it all begins, it all comes and it goes again. That's another word for Tathagata. Another word for Buddha is thus come, thus go. We come, we stay for a while, and we go. And rocks and trees do that too. Rocks and other objects go too. So shiki is everything in the phenomenal world. It's, you know, it's this, 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 and this, through which we take in the world. We experience it through our taste and touch, our sight and smell. It's how we know what we know. It's a very colorful and beautiful world for us. But we are always exposed to every different kind of thing through our senses. And all of those come and go. All of that is ephemeral in the same way that we ourselves are ephemeral. We can't hold it. We can't hold anything. And we also accumulate, which is another word of talking, a way of speaking about how we learn and are acculturated and take in and keep everything in our mind. So we, it's called storehouse consciousness. It becomes a kind of barn that's full of stuff. Everything that we ever learned is stored in there, at least until we start getting old and we forget it. But it's probably still in there somewhere, and we just can't get it so quickly anymore. So all of these, the Heart Sutra is saying, all of these dissolve back into the Absolute. And other, it's coming and going continually, a continual coming and going. It's a big dynamic, so big that we can't even understand it really. It's too big. So he says three factors are required to awaken ourselves to be and lead to action. We have to wake up and then do something. And those three are an object, something, and something in us that notices it, our eye or our ear, and consciousness that thinks about it. So it's not just one thing, it's three. We often see things and don't really take it in. And so we don't act on it. And sometimes that's creates a problem. So waking up and staying awake and having this kind of thought that leads to action well, he goes on about the seeds of future action. Every action manifests past actions, the memories, and sows the seeds of future action. So the whole process is without noumenon. It's created from the interdependence of elements. It's not a thing. It's each one of those things coming together to create an action. So it's more about action than it is about the different three things that make it, the consciousness and the body noticing it. That it's what we do. And it's how we notice, we know that. We know that about each other and about ourselves. That it's our, what we do that has meaning, not just the stark being of us. It's what we accomplish. It's how we act and react. He says, in the Mahayana, there is no division between matter and mind. Are between the objective and the subjective. He says, any impression is both mental and material and remains imprinted in the form of information that can be actualized at any time. So this is again the barn with everything in it. This describes process of karma arising from action. Action arises from both matter and mind at the same time. So during Zazen, sooner or later, concentration appears, which causes our senses to quiet down. This is Mugen Nibi Zeshin Yi. Concentration is in Ku, in the absolute, where everything is forgotten, body and mind, the past and the future. All is calm and one can attain complete samadhi. So sometimes people go to sleep, and this is not samadhi. It requires total calm and vigilance. That's true. Concentration and observation follow each other. The perfect concentration of samadhi has a contrast to the state of shiki, or a state of agitation. So we can sit in agitation, and sometimes we do, we have to. It often is helpful to put our mind in our hands. If we're really upset about something, sometimes people say, oh, well, we shouldn't sit when we're upset. But really, it's very helpful to sit when our mind is spinning, and just let it calm down all by itself. And it will do that. Just breathe. Just quietly follow your breath and let it be what it wants to be. It's hard to do. You always want to change it and make it better. But it will make itself better. So the mind has no beginning and no end. And at the same time that the body's first cell appears, so does the mind, which breathes life into that cell and returns to the energy of the cosmos when the body returns to the earth. So he's not calling the absolute some very abstract thing. He's calling it energy. He's calling the entire energetic of everything as absolute, meaning beyond. He goes on to talk about old age, where a disharmony begins to carry. And he talks about transmigration, which is something that I've never been able to grasp, even though I have Tibetan friends who are very convinced about it. And when they talk about it, I believe it, because they're so convinced. It's very, very strong understanding, and they have all kinds of experiences to tell about it, with rainbows and bodies that stay after they've died for months. And my friend Tinley was corresponding with her father, who had died when she was a tiny girl. And so he was a high school student and she was a college student, and they were writing letters to each other. It just boggles my mind. But there is this theory, or this understanding, about the karma of consciousness that continues after death, that Adeshi Maru understands as something that's real. I can't imagine how you would know that, but he he has a whole explanation here, which I will encourage you all to read about. It's about the newborn child, which from the moment of conception, the potential for which it's contained in the father's sperm and the mother's egg, and for the seed not to germinate, it must be transformed. And this is what happens during Zazen. Bad karma appears in Zazen, freeing itself from the subconscious. This all seems way too complicated to me. It's a complicated way of describing how things arise in our mind as we sit, and as they did with Buddha. And Buddha had a very simple way of explaining it. He called it Mara. He said Mara came with an army, and the army was shooting arrows at him. And Mara came with a temptation to rule the world. And Mara came with beautiful ladies with no clothes on doing dances in front of it, and etc., etc. So Adeshi Maru is describing this in a much more complicated way of whatever arises in our mind, and sometimes it's not very beautiful. We have all kinds of things that come in our consciousness. And when we sit, we can't distract ourselves. We can't go to the movies and forget about it. We're right here sitting, and there it is. And that's extremely helpful, as he says. That's your karma. You're carrying it. So better to see it. And then you can deal with it. And you can see through it. Because it's just not real. None of it's real. But it can haunt us if we're not conscious of it. So sitting has that aspect to it, even though we aim for equanimity. Sometimes we find ourselves rocking on the cushion because something has come up that we need to experience and come to terms with. So he says the hardest passage is the one where it says, in Ku, in the absolute, there are no five aggregates, no six organs, sense organs, no six sense objects, no six perceptions born from ignorance and carrying ignorance. In Ku, there are neither our subjective organs nor our environment. Nothing that belongs to the domains of sight, hearing, smell, touch, or taste appears in Ku. Given that there is no environment, there is no objective or subjective observation. There is no consciousness. In the end, total extinction, complete absorption into nothing. Into Ku, total Ku, absolute zero. This is the hardest passage of the Hanya Shingyo. It consists of only 25 kanji, but their meaning is very deep. There is no separation between God or Buddha and ourselves. I always say that the posture of Zazen is itself God or Buddha. Which is what Dogen said when we're sitting, and it's the reason we don't have Buddha on the altar, because each one sitting is Buddha itself, is the Buddha energy, you could say, the absolute presencing. In Zen, a simple seated posture and deep breathing create right consciousness, which embraces all contradictions and plunges into unlimited thought. All visualizations, all visions, all sensations should be rejected as products of illusion. It doesn't matter whether God or the devil appears. You should pay no attention to either. They're merely phenomena, mental illusions. In the right posture, though, through sitting consciousness, all contradictions and conflicts and dualities are resolved. There's no need to look for union or communion or fusion. It's already there. So he finishes up about the 12 sensory domains. According to this system of Buddhist philosophy, consciousness does not exist as an isolated entity. It's always the result of two supporting elements, the sense organs and their object. So it's really three. Whatever we take in, and the thing we're taking in, and then how we think about it. So we're thinking up our world all the way, all the time. Following the way means becoming free of one's illusions, having a solid confidence in oneself, and a profound faith in the quest for truth. Keeping a lucid consciousness and a devoted mind, whatever the obstacles encountered, we can always remain free. Consciousness is the major determining factor of action, behavior, and attitudes. And he finishes by saying, what's permanent in our life? Nothing. Everything is mujo. It is dangerous to be too attached to our ego, to our body or our mind, to our own intelligence or that of someone else. Here and now, we should travel beyond the high mountain of impermanence. So this is what I consider a challenging chapter. Maybe you do too. Or maybe you can explain it better to me. Your questions, discussion, comments? John?
I was, well, we're not really supposed to think about opposites. He's saying that ku and mu are opposites. One is emptiness and one is non-being or not, just kind of like the cosmic knot. That's interesting.
That's what the Heart Sutra is saying. No form, no feeling, no perception, no impulses, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind.
But then he'll say, they're not really opposites, they're the same.
Yes.
There is no real opposite.
There are no opposites, exactly. They are each other.
It gets pretty esoteric.
It's hard to understand.
Emptiness and non-emptiness. Well, I guess that's like form and emptiness.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's just an indirect way of saying it.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book yet. I'll probably get it on these days.
John, you had a question?
I certainly agree that this is the hardest passage. But he comes back to saying Zazen is it.
Mm-hmm.
The posture and deep breathing.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's it.
And And that in itself is challenging, I think. To me, it is. To fully accept that. He uses this word, hishiryo, but without much explanation of that. Does that mean the same thing as zazen?
Yes.
It does.
It means samadhi, which is the mind of zazen.
Which is then different from Buddha mind?
No, it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Suzuki Roshi calls it big mind and small mind. And that's very helpful, I think. And a lot less complicated than this. But it's the same thing. And our small mind is the big mind. Is the whole thing is all one thing.
So is this saying that we have it, we'll just get over the rest of our stuff?
Well,
is that what it's saying?
No, it's saying that we should clarify our mind so that when we do something, we're present. So that we're able to act with some kind of clarity and intelligence. It's more about that. The kind of effect that we have in the world depends on how well we can handle ourselves and what we're dealing with. We come to grief if we're just on automatic, or we're so caught up in some kind of belief system that we're just cutting through and causing a lot of damage. That the more clarity that we can develop, which means knowing how our mind is working and allowing the garbage to come up and to see it, and to see where we are strong and bright and good, and develop that, cultivate it. So that when we stand up and walk out the door, we have something to give to the world. To be the world.
He also talks, he mentions God.
Yes.
Does Dogen mention God?
Coleman said 50% God, 50% not God. That's how his mind works about it.
does Dogen,
yes,
refer to God?
Sojun says
Dogen.
Oh, Dogen.
No, I'm sorry. I was pronouncing
him. No, but he talks about Buddha in the same sense that I think Deshi Maru is talking about God. When I was a little girl, I always stood with the grown-ups as we came out of church, and they were always talking about God this and God that, and I was always so embarrassed because I thought God was much bigger than any kind of talking about it like that. It was too big to just chatter away. You shouldn't do that. But I think there's no way to authentically manage our mind around it, that subject. I think that's why we bow down on the ground. We can do something, we can enact it. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Just like that. Yeah. What's happening? I will be away.
Right.
So John Lowney will be our teacher the next two Tuesdays. And I'd like to get a sense of interest in a Tuesday full day sit on the 8th. It's scheduled for half day, but since we didn't get a full day this month, I thought maybe we could do it next month.
Tuesday?
Saturday.
It's Saturday.
December
8th. And that's Buddha's Enlightenment Day.
Yeah.
It happens to hit the Saturday, so it's a good day to sit the whole thing.
So, would anybody be interested in full day sit that Saturday?
I am.
I think I might be I believe that coincides with the Ruhatsu they're having.
Yes, it probably
upstairs.
Yeah.
At Jikoji, but I'd like to be here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see if it's available first or second. I don't know which.
Well, it's a possibility. But we will have a sit on Saturday on the 8th.
Yes.
In any case, either half or a whole day. But that will be good.
Saturday is the 8th.
Okay, shall we do a 1-minute sit?
Yeah.